Welcome to another audio recording from Safety at Work blog. I'm Kevin Jones. This time I'll be reading two articles that both deal with the introduction of industrial manslaughter laws in the Australian state of Queensland, only the second jurisdiction in Australia to do so. The first article was originally published on October 9, 2017, and is called Queensland's Industrial Manslaughter Push Moves to Parliament This Week. Queensland's Minister for Employment and Industrial Relations, Grace, is continuing to apply political pressure on the opposition Conservative Party over the issue of industrial manslaughter laws prior to their debate in State Parliament this week. In a media statement released on October 6, 2017, Grace states that, quote, "We owe it to the victims and their loved ones to ensure Queensland has strong industrial manslaughter laws to protect people on the job," end quote. This is an appealing statement during Australia's National Safety Month, Safe Work Month, but the relationship between industrial manslaughter laws and safer workers is not as clear and direct as the political statements suggest. Over a decade ago, when industrial manslaughter laws were being proposed nationally for the first time in Australia, there was enormous attention from business executives. But the discussion was less about improving safety and more about avoiding personal liability. This is a major reason why the Queensland government has promised to ban insurance products that pay occupational health and safety penalties imposed against employers. If the intention is to raise the awareness of employers' OHS responsibilities, the strategy may work. But if it is intended to result in safer workplaces, the strategy would need to be supported by increased inspectorate and enforcement resources. Any industrial manslaughter laws will be just that, laws, and laws need enforcing. Particularly industrial manslaughter laws, because laws that require a safe and healthy workplace already exist. Industrial manslaughter laws are intended to encourage compliance with the existing laws. This intention itself is an indication that the existing laws and existing enforcement strategy have not been effective. Any government should ask itself whether the imposition of additional laws to enforce existing laws is really a strategy for success. Could a similar level of safety compliance have been achieved through adequate enforcement of the existing OHS laws? Grace also says that, quote, "Our proposed laws will send a clear message to corporations that negligence on their part will attract serious consequences. Some larger businesses are using complex corporate structures to evade their responsibilities, and our proposed laws will plug this gap," end quote. The Australian experience is that industrial manslaughter laws are usually not applied. The UK experience is that most industrial manslaughter prosecutions are not at the large corporate level. Government may have more success addressing the complex corporate structures used to avoid OHS responsibilities through corporate law and enforcement agencies such as the Australian Securities and Investments Commission or the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority, as it is doing on the matter of law breaches by several of the Australian banks. If companies are expected to integrate OHS, WHS due diligence into their management structures and processes, as required by most Australian safety laws, perhaps that due diligence should be the enforcement entry point. Grace's media statement also mentions two recent incidents of traumatic workplace deaths, Dreamworld and Eagle Farm, in support of the need for industrial manslaughter laws. Perhaps an additional test for these laws would be their potential application to the black lung controversy. According to the Australian newspaper, LNP industrial relations spokesman Jared Blagey said they didn't have any problem with industrial manslaughter offences being introduced, but they still had concerns about the legislation as written, end quote. The industrial manslaughter laws are due for debate in Queensland Parliament this week. The second article is from October 17, 2017, a few days after the industrial manslaughter laws were passed by the Queensland government. This article is titled Industrial Manslaughter Debate Reveals Commitment and Misunderstandings. Industrial manslaughter laws passed through the Queensland Parliament on October 12, 2017. The debate about the laws on that day is an interesting read as it illustrates some of the thoughts about workplace safety in the minds of policy decision makers, business owners, industry associations, trade unions, and safety advocates. Lawyer for Herbert Smith Freehills, Steve Bell, has said in a LinkedIn post that, quote, will industrial manslaughter laws make workplaces safer? In my view, probably not, but it will certainly affect the manner in which businesses respond to workplace incidents and external investigations, end quote. This perspective is understandable and valid when one considers the laws to be a part of the post-incident investigation and prosecution. A similar view was expressed in Queensland's Parliament by the Liberal National Party's David Yanetsky, based on the submission by the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Queensland. Quote, the CCIQ have spoken about this. In their best guess, the imposition of these rules will not in any way, shape or form improve health and safety outcomes in Queensland, will not see an improvement in health and safety culture, and will not address the issue at hand, which is fatalities. End quote. This linear thinking of cause and effect seems valid in relation to fatalities, but less so in the impact of safety culture. Safety culture is intimately involved with the presence of safety leadership, which is usually interpreted as residing in the senior executive. Increasing the exposure to prosecution of these executives should generate some change in leadership, which may affect the organisational culture. If experience is anything to go by, increased executive risk exposure usually results in investigating the avoidance of liability rather than an increase in safety. But industrial manslaughter laws do provide an opportunity for regulators and safety advocates to restate the case for improving occupational health and safety and the flow-on improvements in productivity and profitability. Yanetsky is alarmist when he says, quote, businesses will again cop it in the neck because they are forced to go back to square one and revisit all their health and safety obligations, end quote. Queensland has had OHS laws and obligations on employers to provide safe and healthy work environments for decades. Industrial manslaughter laws have not changed these duties, only added to the consequences of breaching these duties. No business needs to revisit any of their OHS obligations. If it was compliant last week, it is compliant this week. If it was non-compliant then, so it is now. Yanetsky also illustrates one of the major reasons why industrial manslaughter laws were introduced when he says, quote, one of the questions they will be asking is this, what is our liability under this act, end quote. The question being asked should be, how can I improve my company's working environment so that my workers are not harmed? Those who are concerned about personal liability for workplace deaths are displaying a critical misunderstanding of OHS and their legislative obligations. They are also indicating to their workforce that the avoidance of jail by executives is more important than providing a healthy and safe workplace, the antithesis of the leadership expected by safety regulators, workers, customers, suppliers, and boards. Yanetsky also mentioned that these laws will increase costs. Quote, businesses that have just come to terms with the 2011 amendments will now need to go back to square one and reconsider these issues all over again. That will be a cost to business, and there will be no discernible improvement in the health and safety environment for Queensland workers. It will simply be a cost and an imposition on businesses. End quote. It is difficult to see how industrial manslaughter laws will increase business costs. The Australian Labor Party's Leanne Donaldson counters Yanetsky by listing issues of worker exploitation, inadequate safety training, and unsafe materials. None of these issues are expected to be improved as a result of industrial manslaughter laws, but one of the aims of the laws is to increase the executive focus on OHS, which should reduce exploitation, provide effective safety training, and increase the quality or safety of materials. Donaldson recounts a near-miss experienced by her husband that resulted in the death of another worker. The circumstances of that experience illustrate poor safety management more than anything else, and it would have been useful to know what prosecution, if any, WorkSafe Queensland had taken against the company and the company executives. A much stronger example would be the actions being taken by the safety regulators, police and others, against the company and executives involved with the Eagle Farm deaths. The builder in charge of the construction site, Claudio D'Alessandro, was charged by the police with manslaughter in November 2016. The LNP's Stephen Minikin told Parliament that the LNP, quote, believes very much in the absolute dignity of work and the right for all workers to go to work each day, to get paid a decent wage, and most importantly, to come home safely to their families at the end of every shift or every day, end quote. What is meant by an absolute dignity of work is unclear, but it could be a phrase that could haunt the Member of Parliament. It shows how loose some MPs have been in the debate over industrial manslaughter laws and workplace safety. Minnickin states, quote, "We all know that workplace health and safety is and always will be a shared responsibility between the employer, the employee, unions and safety advocates. That dynamic will never, ever change." End quote. The universal understanding of OHS is overstated, although it can be argued that we all know what OHS is until we are required to apply it. Implicit, whenever someone says OHS is a shared responsibility, is that safety obligations are of equal weight, and this is not supported by the safety legislation. Current thinking on OHS is that safety is dynamic and constantly changing, hence the inclusion of the management of change and continuous improvement elements in the upcoming International Standard for OHS Management Systems, ISO 45001, and the analysis of leadership and culture. The ALP's Linus Power told Parliament that, quote, "We have heard that the mechanism of the bill can ensure that complex structures do not artificially remove senior responsible officers from their responsibilities where their conduct is criminally negligent. That is to ensure that safety at work becomes a culture that goes through the entire business and right through the chain of businesses that conduct the work." End quote. Whether this type of offence can ensure the acceptance of OHS responsibilities is debatable, and on the basis of the experience in the Australian Capital Territory, difficult to quantify. Safety culture may begin at the top of the organisational structure and rely on appropriate leadership, but again, it is difficult to see how industrial manslaughter legislation will ensure a suitable safety culture, particularly when one can argue that such an offence is another example of promoting safety through fear rather than collaboration. It may be that the imposition of industrial manslaughter risks on company executives can promote a dysfunctional safety culture based on the avoidance of liability at all levels. The Work Health and Safety and Other Legislation Amendment Bill includes changes other than industrial manslaughter. The Work Health and Safety Officers, WHOSOs, that Queensland lost in its move to work health and safety laws have been reinstated, although the role is no longer mandatory. The WHOSO has been unique to Queensland, and businesses have been lobbying for this reinstatement for some time. The bill changes the status of OHS codes of practice by providing more legislative clout and again reinstating the past and clarifying the requirements in the codes are the minimal acceptable level of safety. Much of the debate about this bill and what will soon be laws was framed as the government giving the trade union movement more influence. This article has not included this debate element, as it has little to do with OHS directly, and almost everything with party politics, especially in the lead-up to the next state election, scheduled for May 2018. Workplace safety rarely gets debated in Parliament other than when there is a catastrophe or multiple fatalities, and that debate is almost always on political lines, where those of the left argue for additional regulations and emphasise the human and social cost of the incident. Those on the right express sympathy for the dead, but balk at increased regulations and emphasise the cost to business and the economy of those changes. These positions are perceived as a debate about OHS, but the fundamental obligations on business and workers are rarely disputed. The latest Queensland parliamentary debate has shown that both sides of politics support the need for OHS laws and the importance of safety in workplace. Safety professionals and the community should take heart from this. Well, you've just listened to the reading of two articles from the award-winning Safety at Work blog. These articles are freely accessible at safetyatworkblog.com. Many more unique articles about work-related safety and health issues are available to subscribers from that site. Thank you for listening.